This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from 5 Under Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? And hey, Beaumont, how we doing? As we are coming to you live from 5 Under in B-Town. As we're going to be here for the next 3 hours, and then after us, filling in for the Blitz, you got Jerry, you got Josh, you got Moneyline, but most importantly, the guy next to me is here, Nick Sciarra, and we, along with Aaron Raybould back at the studio, we're going to have some fun today on a Friday.
We absolutely are. What's going on, man? How was your trip to Beaumont? Mine was pretty pleasant. Didn't have a problem at all.
Yeah, not real bad. I mean, obviously the weather's not good, and there was some delays right before the Fred Hartman Bridge, but other than that, the drive down here is never a problem. The drive home, that's another story.
Yeah, but I think we got a good way to get back in the form of 90. But, man, look at 5 Under, a bunch of kids out here. I think they got a special for $150 per child, the golf course. They got lunch every day that you do it. I believe it's Monday through Thursday. Unbelievable deal. Really cool location for kids. And I already had the sliders, and they were amazing.
It's a summer camp. Nice that the parents can dump the kids off. They can get some golf instruction, and the parents can get some free time.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. This place is awesome.
You should bring the kids over here.
No, not yet. But at the right time, we will absolutely force them to play golf.
So what's on your mind, man? What's going on, dude?
I mean, lots of stuff. National Donut Day. You fired up about that?
I'm pumped. I don't eat donuts that much. I'm watching my sugar. Today's an exception, but I'm trying to watch my sugar, trying to be more healthy.
Let's get to that in a minute. If you have a pick a flavor thing, Nick's going to actually blow it out of the water. So today, you can get free donuts with the purchase of a drink at Dunkin' for National Donuts Day. If you're near a Dunkin' Donuts.
An alcoholic beverage or like coffee? They don't sell alcohol, I'm assuming.
I don't think that they do. If you're near a Tim Hortons, which I don't think anybody in Texas is, you get their classic specialty donuts for just 50 cents. For less than a buck, you get the donut of your choice. Never heard of Duck Donuts. I don't think anybody in Houston has.
We talked about the pizza and
the DiGiorno pizza donut
yesterday, right?
Yeah, that sounds absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
But if you enjoy donuts, today would be your day to go out and try and score some free ones along the way, if that's your thing. So we'll just throw that out there.
So what's on your mind in terms of sports, Joel Blank?
I tried to watch the games last night, you know, and the Portland game was good for about three quarters. But then it just started to just kind of fade on me. And then the Laker game was just absolutely brutal. And it's interesting to me, like, at what point does everybody turn the corner short term on every superstar? Because now all of a sudden, you know, and Damon Lillard brought it on himself. After the game, Damon Lillard tweets and Instagrams pictures of him leaving the building, quoting Nipsey Hussle lyrics and basically, how long do I keep doing this?
Yeah.
And then it just fires up all the national media to say, Dame to the Lakers, Dame to the Warriors, Dame to this, Dame to that. You looked up his contract. It's like, unless he pulls a Harden, is he going to be the next to pull the Harden? Because we talk about what Deshaun did in terms of, especially with football, with not only Russell Wilson, but Aaron Rodgers and others. But this seems to be like James Harden scenario part due. It's like, if it worked for James, it can work for you too.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I'm not mad if Dame does that. I'm not mad. If you're a Portland Trailblazer fan, I can see why that would absolutely upset you. He just got that massive deal. He's a Supermax player. I think his last year, it's $54 million. If I'm not mistaken, there's 2 years on his contract where he's like 50-plus. So he has an enormous amount of money that's guaranteed, and the Portland Trailblazers are committed to him. But if they don't get that third star, why don't you do that now? Because by the time this contract is over, he's going to be, what, 34, 35 years old? And I'm going to make the assumption that he's going to be able to perform at the same level that he is right now. But why would you wait until you're 34 or 35 as opposed to just doing it now? And that way it makes it look like less of you like jumping on someone's bandwagon. As long as it's not a KD situation like the way he left, it's not going to be that bad. You might as well do it at 30.
Enemy, right? You know, you're the hero of Portland, and you're going to be the enemy if you leave.
Well,
especially if you do what James did and you request a trade. And then you look at it from a Portland perspective and go, well, you can definitely get way more than whatever the Rockets got for Harden because they didn't get as much as anyone that's a Kool-Aid drinking Rocket fan thought they did. But secondly, you got C.J. McCollum. So you got a poor man's Dame. I've told you over and over again, they play the same position. Dame just plays it better. And that's why I thought they should have moved McCollum up until this year to get put more pieces around Dame. If Dame wants out, at least you have a ball handler that can shoot, that can at least fill some of that role. It's what you get for Dame that keeps you kind of in the ball game in terms of wins and losses. I think Lillard could bring a lot. I know that a lot of people are saying the Lakers. They don't have a lot to give, and contractually they couldn't take on that deal. It would have to be like we talked about yesterday, where Chris Paul can opt out of his deal, sign for whatever, and just want to chase a chip. I think for Lillard, it is possible there are other teams out there. There are teams like a Boston. Like if a Boston's willing to part with Jaylen Brown and pair Lillard with Tatum and some of those other guys, that's something that could possibly be out there.
But you don't think if you take Schroeder out, Schroeder is out his last year of his contract, is $15 million. He becomes a free agent. So you lose that.
Right.
His first year, his next upcoming year, Damian Lillard, that is only $43 million.
Only.
Well, you're taking off players off the book whose contracts are expiring anyway.
But when Schroeder leaves, you still got to trade for Lillard. So, one, you've got to come up with a package that entices the Blazers.
That comes within 15%.
And then, two, to come within 15%. So, even if you sign and trade Schroeder, okay? So, you sign and trade Schroeder, you're going to have to overpay if you're Portland. Schroeder, who you and I both said is not worth max money, just to get other guys, and at the same time, you're allowing Dame to go to the Lakers in your own conference, hated by the people of Portland are the Lakers.
No.
And you're going to see him way too much.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get to this Astros. I mean, not the Astros, the Lakers game before we get to the Astros game because we're already on the NBA topic of discussion. 14 points in the first quarter for the Los Angeles Lakers. I think the record low for the fewest points in the first quarter in an NBA playoff game is 7, and that's held by the Boston Celtics back in 2016. I know Anthony Davis wasn't 100%, and clearly the groin was bothering him.
Yeah.
But you still have LeBron James. How do you score 14 points in a very important game like that? I mean, you're down there with one of the lowest scoring first quarters in NBA playoff history, and you've got LeBron James. And I know to a certain extent, you've got LeBron James, who's not 100%. Clearly, Anthony Davis
still
wasn't 100%. But here's my whole deal on the Lakers. In this off season, considering that they are an absolute dynasty, and they are a championship team, at least last year, I think it's an absolute anything less than adding a third star to this lineup in the offseason is absolutely disrespectful. Just because of the dynasty and the fact that you have LeBron, the fact that you have Anthony Davis, you're the Lakers. You have money. There should be no reason why you can't make a deal
to
add that
third
star. You
have money, but you're tied up in so much money, Nick, that you can't just go get that
third star.
Brooklyn
pulled it off.
Right, they did. But again, it takes two to tango. You've got to get one, a scenario like if you're looking at the Lillard, Portland has to be willing to trade him because he's under contract long-term at large dollars. Then if they are, you have to be able to have what they want in return on top of being able to take his contract. I think that it's unfair, in my opinion, to pile on LeBron or to pile on Dame Lillard because LeBron still had a good game. Lillard still had a good game. Lillard carried his team. I think where it's fair to pick on superstars after they lose is a guy like Anthony Davis. Whether it's legit or not, I think he only played last night because he took too much heat from Charles not playing the game before.
Okay.
Otherwise, I don't think he even plays. And maybe physically he shouldn't have played.
I don't think he should have. He did not look good at all.
But we talk about Chris Paul's reputation, as good as it's been in the regular season, about how many injuries, time after time, he gets in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is right there.
Well, see, I'm not trying to necessarily pile on Dame Lillard. I'm actually looking out for his career and telling him, go ahead and leave. I'm actually not going to be that person that hates on him like a James Harden or anything like that. So I'm not piling on Dame Lillard. I'm not piling on LeBron. I'm just saying if you're the Lakers, you're a dynasty. You have plenty of money. You have plenty of money just based on sheer numbers because of the market that you're in. There's no reason, considering what just happened. The defending champions just got bounced in the first round. There's no reason why you can't add somebody in the offseason and add somebody that's an absolute star, not just a regular player.
But okay, and I understand what you're saying, right? Yeah. But on a couple of fronts. One, they're a dynasty for what they did in the past, but we forget that until they won the championship last year, starting from LeBron's first year with the Lakers and going 6 years back, they didn't even make the playoffs. But now, you're right that because they have LeBron, and time is of the essence because he's not getting any younger and he wants to chase Michael's titles, you owe it to him and everyone else to try and build the right team around him. I thought on paper, before the season started, they were better than their championship team with adding Matthews, adding some of the guys that they added, getting Drummond in the middle of the season. But in retrospect, looking at how it finished, I'm looking more at, did you coast too long? Did you think that at the right time you could just flip the switch and everything was going to go great? Because remember now, LeBron on a sprained ankle sat out almost 6 weeks. Anthony Davis spent two stints where he sat out way too long. And then all of a sudden you thought, it's playoff time. Flip the switch, we're ready to go. Davis, as no one could predict, got hurt again. I don't like, and again, we talk about LeBron and we don't try and second guess his greatness. But I don't think Michael Jordan after the game ever would have said I wasn't 100% and my ankle still wasn't right. Because you played, when you were on the court, you were out there looking like there was nothing wrong.
Maybe Michael Jordan never says something like that. But even when the way he said it, it wasn't like he was trying to like, I mean, he just said it like in the middle of conversation. I felt like he was asked the question. Maybe he intended on saying that as kind of a built-in excuse because, you know, Michael Jordan is not that type of person. But look, all I'm saying is, and look, I don't feel bad for the Lakers. I don't feel sorry for the Lakers. I am not a Lakers fan.
Right.
But you have the resources to make changes. There's no reason. You have LeBron. You have players that want to play with LeBron. You have players that want to go there just because they're L.A. You have players that want to play there because they have Anthony Davis. And now they have the opportunity to heal up in the offseason.
But you say you have the opportunity to make changes. You got two guys under contract that are making 40-plus. So with the cap the way it is, you don't have opportunities to make changes to do what you want to get a third superstar unless Chris Paul decides to come and play for whatever you offer him.
So you think that's the only option?
To get a third superstar, I do.
Okay.
I mean, otherwise you want to gut your team because you're going to have to give up Schroeder's money, Kuzma, and wherever other contractual money that you can get that actually has some substance. And then you got to get a team that's willing to take that crap back.
The Nets have three players, one making 43, the second making 40, the third one making 34. And for whatever reason, the Lakers can't do that.
They can try. But again, they were able to give up tons of draft picks and other things that had value to another team and some young players, which I don't know. I mean,
I think someone can make it work. I think what is very enticing is the idea that you brought up. And if there's any truth about Chris Paul intending to declining that last year,
right,
then it makes sense because he can take a little bit of a lower deal. And you know what? That little deal, that three-year deal that they were talking about, it's not that bad. He can probably still get it.
Think about why the Nets were able to make the deal. They had draft picks, and whether the Rockets were dumb enough to get rid of him or not, they had young assets. They had LeVert. They had Allen. They had guys that made other teams go, that's a guy that I can build around. The Lakers don't have – I mean, you're not going to build around Caruso, and he's a free agent.
Yeah.
Kuzma used to be the guy. Now he's kind of –
His hype has kind of gone down a little bit. But.
All right, we'll talk about that and a bunch of other things. We're glad you guys are with us. We're at 500 Golf, 5945 College Street in Beaumont. Stop by and see us in B-Town. We love the 409. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz Fill-Ins, otherwise known as Moneyline, Josh and Jerry Bowe, going to be here till 7. Aaron Rabel's already with us. So you guys stick right where you are on ESPN 97.5.
Keep seeing visions of you. This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from 500 Golf Center in Beaumont, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
You cannot go through the regular season without prioritizing what you're doing. And that's kind of how they acted. They were a team coming off a championship that felt like, hey, we got a lot of vets. We're going to be fine. We don't care where we end up seated. And it's just not the case in the Western Conference anymore, particularly when you have guys that were injured. You have guys that missed as much time as LeBron and AD did. So for me, this whole thing is just a culmination of what was headed their way based on how they treated the regular season.
So that was Tim Legler on ESPN. I said something similar in the opening segment. But it's the unwritten rule in sports, right? And we've seen a lot of LeBron teams try and do this. But we've seen a lot of teams do this. And that is, they always want to buck the trend and have the belief that when we want to flip the switch, we can flip the switch and we can win when we need to win. And as much as everybody thinks they can defy the odds, not that they're undefeated, and there have been teams able to pull it off. Tampa Bay, for one, wasn't the greatest regular season game in football last year, but when they needed to,
they
got the job done.
Yeah.
LeBron's teams with the Heat, yeah, they did it before. They also didn't do it when they thought they could do it before.
Right.
So there's that whole defy the odds and realize that your team is better than history in sports. But it's just the percentages are not good.
Well, if the Lakers really went into that offseason or the regular season thinking, you know what, we have enough veterans and we'll be fine, I think that's on them. To their defense, when James Harden made the request to trade, maybe there was really no opportunity left for the Los Angeles Lakers to get that third star. I don't know where you could have done that, maybe at the trade deadline or something like that. But then you would have to have found some other star that was either not happy or wanting to come there. I don't know if it was that easy. And I don't know if the Lakers were expecting the Brooklyn Nets to acquire James Harden and get that third star. So it's really, really hard to kind of foresee that. I think what they have to do is they have to go in super team mode. And if you think about any team that can make your team into a super team, it's the Los Angeles Lakers. It's the Nets. It's the Knicks. It's the teams that have the money. It's the Celtics. Those are the teams that can absolutely make a super team. There's no excuse for the Lakers not to do it.
Your idea is a good one simply because of what we talked about yesterday. Because they don't have to make a trade. If Chris Paul does what you said and found was out there in terms of the rumor is, the sources are saying, he's going to opt out of that last year of his deal as good as it's been in Phoenix this year. And we looked at his career earnings. And we looked at what he's missing from his resume and talked about it's still a championship. He's been to a conference finals. He's never won one. He's never been to a finals. Obviously, he's never won a ring. He loves LeBron. They're best friends. He has a house still in L.A. They don't have to make a significant trade, and they get better. Now, to your point, you have a natural-born leader that has proven over the last 2 years with subpar teams, especially in the case of OKC, that he can still get it done. You add him to AD and LeBron. So the other advantage that they have is it is LA. It's Southern California. It is the limelight and then some. Everyone wants to play there already. Now you tell me I can go play in LA and play with those three guys. I'll take significantly less to try and win more. So they're going to have their opportunities. It's just not going to be like the Nets did by trading for a Harden. I think the door is open for them to do that by adding a Paul who's going to choose them.
Okay. So you're just stuck on the Chris Paul thing, which is fine. But to me, there's got to be some sort of way to add a third star. There's no way. I just don't believe it. I think if you're LeBron and you're the Lakers, you're going to find a way to make it happen. It can't be Chris Paul or nothing.
Here's the other thing, Nick. If I'm the Lakers too, and Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka, I'm a little worried about the future after LeBron because we saw he broke down this year. We know he's not getting any younger no matter how well he takes care of himself and all the things he does, and he's still phenomenal. But in a couple of years when he walks away, are you going to want Anthony Davis as he currently is constructed to be your number one guy the way he breaks down?
No, you don't. That's why they're in win-now mode, and that's why you should be in super team mode. That's what you should be thinking right now if you're the Lakers because you are unlimited time with LeBron James. And you know what? Maybe a part of LeBron James's thought process was, look, I know I'm not as old. I know I'm older and I'm not as fast, and I know I can get hurt. Hopefully Anthony Davis, being younger than me, can be healthier. And that clearly wasn't the case.
Well,
so that's why you got to be in super team mode right now.
Well, the other option that you have is if indeed Damon Lillard is James Harden 2.0. If Damon Lillard says exactly what James Harden did a year ago and just comes in and meets with the Portland brass and says, I've loved it here. I've enjoyed my time. We've had a good run. I don't foresee any way that you guys are going to be able to do what I want to do in order to take us to the next level. So if that's the case, if you guys start actively looking to trade me, see how much you can get for me, and see if there's a way that I can get out of here because I don't see a way where we can win here. And he would have to force the hand because he is under contract. So he is locked down. The Blazers don't have to do anything like the Packers, like the Seahawks, like the Texans, like all these different teams, even before Deshaun had the massage issues. So I think that that's where the whole tide has turned. Negotiations have changed, where even a player under contract can still try and rock the boat.
Yeah.
But it takes two. You have to have an organization that goes, we appreciate all you've done here. We'll look at it.
Yeah.
Some teams are going to play hardball and go, you know what? We did everything for you, like the Rockets. when you wanted this guy, that guy, needed this guy to win. We did everything James Harden. Now suddenly you want to skip. We don't have to listen.
Right.
But they did.
Yeah. And that's just the nature of it. And look, if you're someone that would absolutely kill and blame Dame Lillard for doing something like that, you have absolutely every right to do that, particularly if you're from the Portland market. I completely understand
see,
that.
Having lived and worked there and worked for the Blazers, they are everything because they're the only franchise in town and because they've had success. So when you're on top of the world, or if you're just – Clyde will tell you this, too, even before they were going to championships, competing for championships, which they never won. But they even before they were great, if you were just good dude playing on the Blazers and they were winning and they were exciting, you had the whole city at your fingertips. Everybody kissed your rear end.
Right.
But the minute that you turn on them and you scorn them, it's hard to go back there because, again, they don't forget.
I mean,
not that you have to, but, I mean, guys care about their legacy now, too. They don't want to be looked at as the bad guy.
That's why I think it's better for him to leave now as opposed to at 34, where it looks like he's totally jumping on the bandwagon like Karl Malone, and he's possibly past his prime, and then he gets hurt when he plays for the Lakers, and he never gets a chip. You know what I mean? I'd rather do it now. I'd rather jump ship now at 30. That way it doesn't look like I'm past my prime at 34, and I'm out here jumping on somebody else's team, and I'm not the man. You know what I mean? What are you going to do?
Guys don't care, though. I think as long as their resume at the end of it says, I got a chip, I got a ring.
If they look at that KD situation, they will, because KD clearly could not handle all the heat and the blowback that he got for selling out on the Warriors, selling out on OKC.
So where are you at this? Someone said it's sad. The only way to win a championship now is you need a super team. That's why it's unwatchable.
It's top
heavy. Not a good look.
I
won't say it's unwatchable, because there are people that love the people on the super team and want to see it succeed. There's a whole lot of people that want to see it fail. So it's like a car crash on a highway. You can't look away. Everyone's rubbernecking. I think people still watch it. But I do understand what the texter is saying in that what happened to the days of building and constructing your teams like the Bulls teams, putting it together through the draft and some savvy moves, and competing that way. It's gone. And you can blame LeBron or the Celtics or the Heat or all these other super teams, but it's not going away, or the Warriors. It's now becoming the norm instead of a rarity that can get it done.
Yeah, and look, it's no secret that's an issue with the NBA. Adam Silver has been on record talking about it. His goal is to have more parity, and his goal was to have more two-star teams because that was the next step as opposed to having one or two super teams. But sorry, it looks like that super team trend might have to come back, especially in the event you're an NBA team that wants to win a championship. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the Lakers do. My whole take is, if you're the Lakers, there's absolutely no reason why I'm not doing everything in my power to get that third star, whether it's Chris Paul or anybody else. Remember, the Clippers have to look at their situation. They look like a championship-ready team. Well, now they don't look like a championship-ready team as much as they used to. If they don't win it, there's going to be some stars in question right there. So, like, if you're the Lakers squad, I'd be doing – like, if you're the front office there, I would be doing everything to get a third star.
Yeah, no doubt. But like I said, and I think they got a legit chance without having to do anything if that's indeed what Chris Paul decides to do that he wants out. But it remains to be seen. Because the other thing, Nick, I would say
to you –
they
got their asses handed to by Devin Booker in that first quarter. Like, Devin Booker destroyed them.
So here's the other thing, Nick. What if you're Damon Lillard and you come to me and say, I want out, and I say to you, what if we build the super team here? What if we use C.J. McCollum and some of our young assets – to try and get the guys to come here instead.
But if you get rid of C.J. McCollum, I don't know if you have a super team.
Depends on what you get in return, right?
You would have to get two stars to be a super team.
No, you get one and get some young players that could be stars.
But that wouldn't be a super team. Okay. A two-star team wouldn't be a super team. To me, it would be a three-star team.
That's
in Brooklyn.
That's why, to the texter's point, now in order to be considered a great team, you have to have a
They would have to find, which is obviously very difficult. Portland would have to find a way to keep that backcourt and add a third player, probably a big man that's a star. You know what I mean? Anthony Davis.
Nurkic is no slouch. They traded for Norman Powell. He worked out well. He's not star by name, but those guys are not slouches either.
That's true. But Dame's going to look at that situation. He's going to be realistic. He's been with Portland long enough now, and he's dealt with the front office and the coaches and everything long enough now. And he's gonna look in the back of his mind and say, can this team really get me that third star?
I think Harden 2.0 is coming in Portland if that's true. And I also, he's got to have that conversation.
And I also think if he does want that third star, he does not want it at the expense of C.J. McCollum. He wants C.J.
That's where he's got to be able to. You got to separate that. You have to, because I've said for, 3 years now, I keep saying that those guys are the same player playing the same position. Lillard just plays it better, not taking any away from C.J. But in order for that team to grow and also for both guys to reach their potential, one of them's got to go.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. That's just the first half hour of the program. 2.5 to go. Lots more to get to. We got to get to those Astros. I kind of feel like they gave one away yesterday after what we talked about and what we saw. But they're getting ready to play a game in Buffalo against the Blue Jays tonight. And we'll talk about that. We've got lots of other things to talk about. We got the other L.A. team, as Nick mentioned. They're on the court tonight trying to stave off elimination against the Mavericks, that being the Clippers. So lots to get to. It always includes you. 713-780-3776. HRP listener line for calls and texts. Otherwise, hit us on Twitch. Hit us on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Together, we're the Press Box on ESPN. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all
alone, in a time of need. Because... My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 500 Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on the box, it's Nick and myself from 500 in Beaumont. Aaron keeping us on the air. Back in studio. Want to remind you, this is an awesome place, 500 Golf. If you haven't been here, you need to check it out. It's great for the family, and now they're offering summer kid camp all summer long, Mondays through Thursdays, 9 a.m. to noon. Lunch is included, refreshments, snacks, and, of course, golf instruction. No clubs required. They rotate putting, chipping, iron shots, and tee shots. $150 covers instruction for 4 days with the team of instructors here and all those different things. Prizes awarded throughout the camp. Great way for the parents to catch a break and the kids to learn a little something about golf. Need to check it out. This place is awesome.
Absolutely. And I love Chris.
Chris, great dude.
This guy is super dedicated.
Yep.
He really is. How about them Astros?
So you and I talked before. Let me preface this again by saying we said this before the game even started yesterday. I had a real issue, and I think you were with me on this, but I don't understand after 2-3 hit games and a really good start to this series – why Kyle Tucker was sitting yesterday.
Yeah.
And I don't like the fact that even Correa was sitting, though I don't think he was even close offensively to what Tucker had been doing. But the bottom line was, in my opinion, then watching how the game played out, and obviously Jake Odorizzi was not sharp. He did not make it to the fifth inning. He gave up a three-run bomb. But essentially, to me, you had a chance to sweep the Red Sox in what I said was the most important homestand of the year, and really definitively put your stamp on the fact we can play with anybody. And I think you just put a bow on it and gave it away and said, here, Red Sox, we whooped your ass for 3 days. We'll take it easy on you.
And now the pain is a lot less for the Red Sox, right? They don't get swept. Now they get on a flight. They head to New York to play the Yankees, and they feel a little bit better about themselves. Now, in terms of Odorizzi's performance, I mean, how mad are you about that situation? If you look at that second inning, Rafael Devers doubles. Hunter Renfroe gets walked, and then Christian Arroyo hits a home run, which I felt like was what was really what broke the game apart.
Sure did.
But the dude got, what, 5 hits in the last 7 games, 9 hits in the last 9 games. The guy's not been that great, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, he gets a home run off of Odorizzi. I think it's just hard to bounce back from. Maybe it just sounds like me, you know, making an excuse for the Astros.
Hard to bounce back when you're not playing all your right guys either.
That's true. And to your point, later in that fifth inning, Miles Straw had an opportunity to get them within reach, and of course, that didn't work out. So, I mean, yeah, if Tucker was in that position, would he have gotten a hit? Would he have gotten them within reach? At that point, they were down 3. I mean,
here's
I don't know.
The bigger issue. You're looking at Odorizzi, and there's a tough decision that's coming. Because if you're James Click, as much as we don't hear from you, you went out in the one move that you really made this offseason and made a substantial 2-year offer to Jake Odorizzi. You brought him in. You want him to perform well because he's making a lot of money. But when you look at it, we talked about the surplus of starting pitching. Is Jake Odorizzi better than what Garcia's been lately? No. Is he better than what Javier's been all year? No. Is he better than Fromber? No. Is he going to supplant Zach Greinke? No. When McCullers comes back, is he better than him? No. So there's five starters. You got, and I didn't mention Odorizzi. Now you also have the luxury of knowing you have even more starters that are possibly going to be made available. Urquidy, I didn't even mention him. So the thing is, if you are James Click, do you do what a lot of general managers do and cover your butt by saying, I'm going to keep putting him out there. I'm not having anybody take him out of the rotation because I made this move. I need him to be good. Or are you smart baseball guy going, I got to have a real tough conversation with Jake Odorizzi and telling him if he wants to stay on this roster, he's going to have to go to the bullpen. And if he doesn't like it, then I'm going to have to try and shop him, as we've been talking about, too. What do you have that could possibly bring you bullpen help? Well, there were other teams that wanted to sign Odorizzi, Angels and otherwise. He might have to become trade bait because he may not want to accept.
Has he been on record saying that? I haven't really looked back.
No, he hasn't. I haven't heard him say no yet, but I've got to believe that the ego and the past track record
sure.
of a guy like Odorizzi says, I've been a starter my whole career. Why suddenly should I be in the bullpen for you?
Yeah, and I can see him making that argument, particularly if he has an opportunity to go to a team where he can be a starter like you mentioned. So, look, I don't know if he has that leverage to make that argument after yesterday's performance, but – you know, maybe he still can make that because he's still a starter on most teams. But, yeah, I mean, look, it wasn't really a pretty game. But after, to me, when Christian Arroyo hit that home run, a guy that really has, I think he's gotten, what? I think that was his first home run of the season or of career or of the season. I can't remember. Well, and so it's not, that guy's not necessarily hitting home runs all the time. They just broke it up. He had a really good swing, and it made the difference for the Boston Red Sox.
This is the problem I have with Dusty in so many ways, right? Like, I have a problem with giving guys rest, and you know how much we talked about this with the NBA, and we talked about it again yesterday from the same perspective. I don't believe that these athletes should be catered to so much so as to say, especially a guy as hot as Tucker has finally been, to say, you need rest, it's a long haul, you need to sit. Well, guess what? There's going to be plenty of games when you build up a pretty good lead in a ball game. That's the time to rest guys. Not the time to rest guys when you're trying to absolutely bury a team one more time that's a good team in Major League Baseball, send a message to your fan base, to your team, to the rest of the league, and say, look, this is what we're trying to do. And from the same perspective, with like a Brian Abreu, where I don't agree with Dusty Baker, don't keep putting him out there in high-leverage situations if every team he gets into one, he can't get out of it.
Yeah.
You find a game when you're up 7 or 8 runs, and you say, Brian Abreu, this is your time, or send him down. But that's where old-school Dusty bothers me the most.
Can you at least sympathize with Dusty's decision to rest Correa and Tucker, considering the number of wins they got against the Red Sox in this particular series?
No. You know why? Because they lost games they should have won against the Padres. If they had steamrolled, split with the Dodgers, fine. They beat Bauer, which was great. And even then, the first game was awful, but they looked decent in that series. But in the Padres series, as I highlighted, to have a lead late in all three games and lose two of them was completely unacceptable. If you had swept the Padres and you had won the first three against the Red Sox, I'm totally fine.
You're okay with them
Get
resting?
Ready to hit the road. Let's rest the guys because it's a day game. You get extra rest involved in that. And we start the road trip fresh. But other than that, because they gave away games against the Padres, I'm not okay with it.
Okay. I mean, that's fair enough. I wanted Tucker to play too. My fear was that, look, what if he comes back and plays in this game coming off of rest and he loses his swing a little bit? Do you blame it on the fact that he chose to rest Tucker, or do you blame it on the fact that Tucker is just that inconsistent guy? He hasn't been that inconsistent guy, and he's young.
Well,
it's
you're
just,
right. But
so I did have a problem with that to a certain extent, but I did look at it from an overall perspective, and we talk about how just winning the series is important. It's not like they split it.
Right.
They only lost one. But you're right. I do believe – and look, and Strom has been on record, to your point, about resting guys. Like, particularly in that Padres series that you were talking about, after the game, I believe it was a Friday night, and he was like, look, I didn't expect Tatis – maybe I should have. I didn't expect Tatis Jr. to hit a home run, and then the game ended up going up to extra innings. All those guys that pitched in that game, I wanted them to rest, and they couldn't. So, I mean, sometimes their hand is forced considering the bats of the opposing team. But, you know, I get it. Look, my fear is when Tucker gets back.
Is – you take Tucker's bat out of the lineup, and you take your everyday right fielder out. You also take your starting shortstop out of the lineup, and not just offensively. It's leadership and defense with Correa as well that that Diaz doesn't have the range that Correa has either. Now, Diaz did end up getting a couple of hits yesterday, so offensively you can't knock it. But overall, what it means to the team, and there's a presence that's felt when Carlos Correa is on the field. And I feel like when the guys, I feel like it's also a confidence builder for the Red Sox. If the Red Sox look at the lineup card of the Astros, they gotta have a little extra pep in their step too. Yeah. Going, oh, we got this one. Yeah. They're sitting those two guys.
Yeah,
we're all right.
They should. It does give them a little bit of a mental edge. I would agree with that sentiment for sure.
So all right, tonight they're in Buffalo. Yeah. Are you not discounting? Or are you kind of telling him suck it up, the fact that in the game before he fouled a fastball right off the inside of his knee? Because that was mainly the reason I think that he got sat, is because he, right towards the end
that
of that
game. That
wasn't
what they were saying.
They called it routine rest.
They were
rest.
Calling routine rest. If you tell me he's hurt, now I have
no problem.
But
they're not going to say he's hurt because they don't want to.
Why not? He's not going on the injured list. Why not admit a guy's hurt?
I can see why they wouldn't say it, though. If he really is, like, bruised up or something.
Dusty's old school. He's not going to say that. He's just, but he took a fastball that he fouled right off the inside of his knee, and it's right on that inside part where it gets really sensitive. I could see them saying, you know what, take the day off because he was still sore. He's maybe walking with a little tenderness or stiffness in his knee. And they said, rather than run and tear something because you're putting too much pressure on it, sit
it
down
certainly
and
justifies
rest it for a
it
day
a little
and wait
bit
for the flight.
But you talk to the player, right? You talk to the player, and you understand where he's at, too. It's like what we're talking about with whether Anthony Davis should have played in a playoff game or not. But the other thing, to my bigger point with Dusty, is the other thing I wouldn't have done in the Red Sox series, though he only got two balls hit to him, is I wouldn't have put Yordan in left field. I would do that against a Detroit Tiger team. I wouldn't do that against the Red Sox. You got an issue with it, Aaron? I see you. I mean,
no, I don't have an issue with that. You're also on a 30-second delay.
Okay, but I'm saying from the Tucker perspective, you bring up a valid point. But I didn't hear that. I didn't hear he's injured. I heard it was just routine rest.
But he can see you.
But
Aaron,
teams do that all the time, where they're not going to say,
"Yeah,
his
eyeballs on your
a
face."
Knee injury, because they've already dealt with enough injuries. That's all they need is every single writer to go out and go, "Oh, another injury's hitting the Astros." When it's just something where he goes, "You know what? Let me ice it for the day. Get on the flight. I should be good by the time we land in Buffalo."
Okay, we agree to this.
It's not that big a deal. Look, I get both sides, though. I mean, I get if it's some precautionary measure that they were doing with the kid because he got hit. Okay, fine. My whole deal was don't take him out for routine rest in the event that he is hitting well. If he did get hit with the ball, I can kind of understand it. At the same time, and we had this discussion, like you just said, like, ask Tucker, how do you feel?
Right.
And maybe Tucker said, dude, like, I can play. But it is kind of sore, man. Like, I don't think anything is broken or messed up or torn up in there, but it is kind of sore. Like, maybe he said that. You don't
like
know.
Like, we see guys getting dotted up with fastballs, 90-some-mile-an-hour fastballs, elbows, shoulders, whatever. They're in there the next day. He's young. He's resilient. Plus, he probably wants to be out there, too, with the fact that he's had 7 hits in his last 3 games. That's the thing to me, too, that makes it harder to swallow, is the fact that it's not just an average routine day off. And it is a guy that's red hot, that hasn't started the season hot, where you'd think he'd want to keep, you know, keep getting out there while he's on fire. So
yeah, I mean, look, clearly, I'm a bigger Kyle Tucker fan than you are. Clearly.
I'm not a fan, and I wanted him out there. I'm not a fan per se, but I like the way he's been playing lately. So they're in Buffalo tonight. Weird situation. Also weird because there's a stadium that no veteran pitchers pitched in. You do have your guy Zach Greinke on the hill. But he's pitching in a place that he's never pitched at before, because really, most guys this year are going to do that. They're playing in Buffalo against the Blue Jays. Good team. And Vlad Guerrero's on fire. So that we'll see how that goes tonight as they start a big road trip. But the Astros have a good homestand. I thought it could have been better. But, hey, they get out, like Nick said, by winning the series against the Red Sox. Lots more to get to on the press box. That includes you guys. So join us, won't you, on the HRNP listener line. Otherwise, text, tweet, Twitch, we're available on everything. We're at 500 in Beaumont. It's Press Box on ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 500 Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
We're at 500 in Beaumont, and so is our man Justin, who just walked in the door as we continue to hopefully have you coming back for more as we're talking about a lot of things here on a Friday on the Press Box. We were talking basketball early and NBA playoffs, and now we're talking some baseball. I don't know if you guys saw this amidst all that was going on with the Astros playing an early game and with the playoffs last night, everything like that. Tampa Bay Rays prospect Tyler Zombro was pitching last night, took a line drive off the dome, and was convulsing.
Yeah.
And they ended up calling the game right then and there. And he was taken to a hospital, and they said he was. They were going through further evaluations. But, man, oh, man.
Yeah, it looked disgusting. I didn't want to look and see him, like, convulse on the floor. But I did see his head get hit with the baseball. It did not look good. He went straight to the floor. He got leveled. And apparently he's supposed to be a pretty good prospect. So I hope everything's okay with him. I didn't see any updates in regards to that. But
I just, you know, and here's the thing, too, because you know what's going to happen next. This is just a sidebar of what can happen in baseball. And I don't know that there's any way to prevent it, because the last time that we saw things like this happen, they started wanting pitchers to wear helmets. And having been a pitcher and seeing, you know, the way pitchers with their windup and all the things that they go through, it would be very difficult to pitch with a helmet on. The third base coaches, remember the one base coach got hit in the head
and actually died.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And then they wanted base coaches to wear helmets. Now, it's one thing for a coach who doesn't have to actively participate in the game
to wear a helmet.
But as a pitcher. And they started trying to develop all with technology, all these different variations of a helmet, hat, and ways to protect. I just don't know that you're going to ever be able to. It's just part of the game.
No, you've grown up your whole life, and I'm sure, Joel, you can speak to this more than I can. But, you know, when you throw as a pitcher, you're used to a very thin hat that's on your head when you're throwing it. I don't think they can construct a helmet that's thin like a hat, like a cap, to the point where if you get hit with a ball with an exit velocity of, I don't know, 198 miles an hour, whatever the case may be, and you'll be okay. There was no other way of him not getting hurt in that situation, in my opinion, unless he made the catch. Because sometimes, you know, the pitcher can kind of throw his glove up there. I just saw one the other week, and it looked like the ball was going to hit him right in his head, but he caught it. So hopefully he's doing okay. You said he's getting reevaluated.
Yep.
Speaking of getting reevaluated, Alex just left the basketball here. Is that the winner of the basketball, Alex? The guy in the red shirt who took the basketball and ran this way? Yeah. I'm just messing with you. He's back there. His face was, he was about to cry.
Tricks on the promo.
He was about to cry. No, the basketball just dropped on the floor, so I messed with you and I hit it behind the banner. But I think he's going to get reevaluated. He'll be okay, but there's no way of him not getting hurt. Like,
well, look, having been a pitcher almost my whole life playing ball and through college and everything else, I've taken line drives everywhere. And even in off-season workouts when we had the bat pitching in the cages, it doesn't matter. It's going to happen.
Like, think about it. You're going to wear a cap this thin.
Right.
That's a helmet.
I don't want – I was flipping channels last night to see if the game was on ESPN, and they had the women's softball NCAA tournament on. And they're making the pitchers, I believe, in college softball wear at least a face mask.
Yeah.
Like a football face mask.
You think it helps?
I think it could, but again, that they're not wearing a full helmet, and this guy took it up kind of towards the top of the head. I just think that
that's just the risk
we're going to hear a lot of people again start trying to come up with all the ideas of why we need more protection for pitchers, and I just think that it's just far-fetched to think that anything works, because as a pitcher, you're right. I don't want to wear a helmet.
Yeah.
A lot of guys go over their head with their windup with the glove.
Yeah.
I mean, look, and I got a big dome piece. But you put a helmet on top of it, and now I'm Jack in the Box, and I'm trying to get my hands over my head in the windup. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's my whole take on that. I don't think it's on Major League Baseball to come up with some amazing helmet to protect the pitcher. I think that's the price and the risk you take as a baseball pitcher. If you want to play this sport, that's the risk you take. If you want to play football in the NFL, you could get your leg snapped in half. That's just the way it is. Like, I don't think it's on Major League Baseball to come up with some amazing helmet. I'm sure they're working with third-party companies, and they always talk about, look, there's always some new helmet company out there that's trying to get approved by the NFL so they can start using their helmet. That happens. I can understand something like that. But to a certain extent, there's dangers a part of both games
part of the industry
that you can't go away. Like, you can't get away from it. So
yeah. Well, you know, obviously thoughts and prayers for a quick recovery, and hopefully that there's nothing too serious that's going on there. But you hate seeing things like that because, like I said, they couldn't even finish the game. And you could see how traumatic it was for all the other players.
Yeah.
All the other players were praying on the field and shaking their heads and looking at it.
And if it was convulsing, honestly, I don't know if I'd want to stay at that game
either.
No,
absolutely not. So throw that out to you as well. But we've got one in the books. We still got 2 hours to go. We've got lots more to get to as we continue to roll forward.
We still haven't talked about the Texans. They practiced a little bit today. I've got some thoughts on that if you want to discuss.
Terod talked yesterday. I knew it was everybody waiting on the edge of their seat.
Did they ask any Deshaun Watson questions to him?
They're not touching that. Yeah, no one's touching that. It's like the same thing in Green Bay. They're not touching it either. I mean,
well, you don't think any reporters were asking any Deshaun Watson questions?
In Houston? The tough questions? Hard-hitting ones? Who's... You look at that media scrum. Who's asking the tough questions?
You don't think Brian T. Smith or McClain from the Chronicle?
Yeah, you know what John McClain's tough question is?
Huh.
Guys, I want to know why you chose not to put numbers on the rosters and screw me up when I'm covering practice.
I tell you what, I want to see his facial reaction in the event they get rid of the chicken tenders.
I mean, McClain went on a 2.5-minute video bender
of
pissed on no roster number jerseys.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I think one of them would ask. We're sitting here making fun of them, but I think
like
one of them
years.
Would ask something, right? Maybe?
I don't know.
I didn't watch. Didn't watch it. But let's talk a little bit about the Texans. There's some things that I want to talk about in terms of practice.
Got some NFL news. We'll get some Texans news. We got lots more to get to, and, of course, it always involves you. So if you guys want to fire some stuff off of us or throw something out there, we'll be happy to discuss it with you. 713-780-3776 is our HRP listener line. You can also hit us up on Twitter and also on Twitch, as we're constantly interacting with the peeps in our normal chat group on Twitch. So we look forward to doing all of that as we start the second hour of the program. Man.
You okay there, buddy?
Yeah, I am. Got a little tickle in my throat. You might want to take this one.
All right.
That's Aaron, let's throw it a break and get the second hour started. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Real.
Let's go. Fun. Sports.